We're going to be talking about maturity today as we turn to the book of James, but it was good to get away for a week and be able to relax. We spent time visiting some of the state parks, and we love the state parks. They're economical, they're also clean, and there's a lot of things to do. And they also have pools and things like that, and Lana loves to swim, and so I always tried to find a place where she could swim. Because there was the old saying, happy wife, happy life, okay? And so the last day that we were at Brown County, I took her down to the large outdoor pool where she could swim, and I don't swim, so I decided I would just take a drive, and I went down by Lake Ogle, and there were some paths that they have, trails that they have along there, and I decided not to walk any of those trails, and I'm so glad I did, because 2 days later, Kristen sent a news account on Fox 59 News, where there were some hikers down on that level. They were on a trail led by Lake Ogle, where I was at, and they were hiking in this trail, and they spied a huge 25-foot, probably 6-foot timber rattler that was crossing the path. And if I had been walking down that path and spied that snake, I would still have been at the top of that tree, okay? Because I believe the only good snake is a dead snake, okay? I don't like snake. A timber rattler, it's a protected species, but nonetheless, I would not want to see that. But I'm grateful for Sandy for sharing last week and for David on Sunday evening sharing. And the week before that, or I should say the month or two before that, you remember I mentioned that we really have to do things. We have to we have to grow and do. You know, we have to know and we have to practice. So as we look at the epistle of James this morning, we're looking at the epistle of practice. But I said this, if you read a recipe, and some of you are very good at this, you can read a recipe and you can tell that it's going to be good. But, you know, I can read a recipe, and for instance, Lana led a recipe last week. It's an Amish recipe from Gloria. It has pancakes overladen with scrambled eggs, sausage, cheese, sausage gravy, and then syrup on top of that. Doesn't that sound pretty good? Now, I'm not sure about the syrup, but you know, you'll never know that it's good unless you do what? Unless you sample it. So Lana was always picking up on our time away. She was always picking up these little brochures of things that we could do. And there was one about this ice cream shop down in Columbus. It was owned by Greeks, and it's been in the family for a long, long time. And have you been there? Yeah, and in the pamphlet, they had something about a Green River soda or a Green River shake. And so I thought, well, we might as well stop in and we'll have a shake. And it was quite crowded in there. But I decided that I was going to order that Green River soda. It was good. It was really, really good. And so if you really want some good ice cream and you want a really neat place with all sorts of soda fountains, go down to that place in Columbus and it's there located somewhere downtown. You can find it yourself. I had to. But it's a great place to be. But anyway, you know, we talk about, you know, living our lives. And today we're going to talk a little bit about maturity and going on with the Lord. And maturity is one of those things that is oftentimes militated against today. We live in a world today where there's so much immaturity that is happening. And there's so many people who are haven't grown up yet. They're still sucking the pacifier. And when you look in the Word of God, you'll discover that, for instance, the book of Hebrews says, let us go on to maturity. Oh, I have to go back to this. I don't know whether you can see this or not, but, you know, Lana pointed this out at Brown County. And so I took a picture of it. And it says, a feller's vacation often benefits the folks he leaves behind as much as himself. And so I know that you were glad to get rid of me for a week so you could listen to somebody else. And I also discovered something else. I went to a couple worship services. And I'm actually cheating you guys out of time. Both pastors who I heard spoke an hour. And I realized that, you know, my 20 minutes is not just doing you justice. So this morning we're in for an hour of service, okay? But anyway, the Bible says very simply, let's go on to maturity. Peter talks about going on to maturity. And so we were to go from being a babe in Christ to being a young man in Christ to being an adult in Christ. We're going from being a merely believer to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're called to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It's because Christianity, well, I think I have it up on the screen. I wrote a lot of things about this. Christianity is a life that we live. It's not merely a religion that we assent to. It's not merely ideals and beliefs and rules and regulations and principles that we assent to and that we know with our mind. Christianity is what we are and what we are to be doing. We're not only to be the church, we are to do church. We are to be the hands and feet of Christ that reach our community. The psalmist says, Lord, teach me to do your will. And yet when I think about this, I think about how it is that so often in our lives, there are so many things that compete against our going on, our growing deep, our growing roots in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're coming to this book of James, which has been confirmed for me, because before I left, I was planning this series, and I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to share from? And he says, what about the book of James? And it was just confirmed to me a couple of weeks ago, this is really what we need to be focusing upon during this time period in August and the first part of September. But James is the epistle of practice. It's not only faith, but faith that works. Faith that is involved, faith that has feet, faith that has hands, faith that has words to it. Jesus, of course, was his half-brother, or James was a half-brother of Jesus, you could say. He was a leader in the Jerusalem church, and he was writing at a time that was very unstable. You know, you have physical immaturity, you also have spiritual immaturity, and so what you find in the book of James, the book of Peter, the book of Hebrews, is that these authors are concerned about these Christian believers going deeper with Christ because there's so much persecution that's beginning to come in upon them, and they're afraid that they're going to compromise their beliefs, their values, and their ethics. And so they're continually reminding them, let us go on to maturity. Let us go on to being with Christ. Let us go on growing deeper with Christ. Let us be the people that God has called us to be. Because again, there's so many conditions that militate against it. For instance, the book of Hebrews says the lack of concentration, the lack of focus. There's so many individuals in the Christian arena who are ADHD, okay? We know that we should focus upon Jesus, but we're distracted by so many things in the world. And I think that what we're approaching in today's world is that rather than focusing upon Jesus, we've sort of, well, I'll have time for Jesus if I don't have time for anything else. You know, I have time for church if I don't have time for anything else. And so we tend to go here, we tend to go here, and we're not focusing upon the one whom the book of Hebrews says we're to walk our life. Focus upon Jesus. Run your life looking to Jesus. Also, the lack of appetite. You know, we have that pacifier in our mouth, and we're still over here using the milk. We never move to the meat stage, the potato stage. Now, I like milk, but I also like meat, and I like potatoes, don't you? I think about, I was mowing the yard some weeks ago, and my young grandson was with us, and I said, how about you help mow the yard with me? You know, he might as well not sit around. He might as well be employed, right? And so he said, sure, I'll mow the yard. And so we mowed the yard together. Now, you have to understand, and I'll call him out. His name is Matthew. It's David's one grandson. And he's just a skinny little kid, okay? He sort of reminds me of myself. He's skin and bones. And he actually has taken a karate class, and in karate class, they were having a competition, and they were actually to take off their shirt and do the whatever, what is it doing? He didn't want to do it because he was afraid kids would laugh at him because all you can see are his bones, his rib cage, okay? But after we got done mowing the yard, I said to him, would you like to have a drink? Would you like to go get a drink of something? And he said, sure. So we went to the pantry, and sure enough, he got the biggest cup he could get, and he filled it with what? Mountain Dew. Now I'm saying, whoa, wait a minute, does your mother really want you to have Mountain Dew? Oh yeah, she's fine with it. Well, I know that she wouldn't have been fine with it, but he's a dessert and Mountain Dew kind of guy. Forget about the meat and potatoes. You know, he's going to remain skinny for the rest of his life because he's not going to eat that stuff that really puts some stuff on him. But what happens is that we stay over here and we never move to the meat and potatoes, the solid things of God's word. What about the lack of discernment? We have the inability to choose between right and wrong because we have a tendency to operate by our feelings in today's world. And then the lack of true worship, the author says. You know, we've neglected the opportunity to gather ourselves together. You know, I got to thinking about this, and last week we got to go on a boat ride with a very dear couple, and we went from Madison down to Frankfurt, and the boat began to develop a little bit of problems along the way and began to use a little bit more fuel. And there's four locks that you have to go through, and just before the last lock, you have to go around a bend, and you're only about a half a mile or so from Frankfurt where we were going to dock and stay overnight. Believe me, what happened was this. Before we crossed and went around the last bend, we ran out of gasoline. And there we were, sitting. Now, praise the Lord for a great, you know, captain of the ship. You know, we floated to shore, and we floated to where there were some limestone rocks, and called the lock master, and he was kind enough to bring us, you know, a couple gallon of gasoline. I got to thinking about that. I'm saying, you know what? That is a little bit like the Christian life. You know, God forbid that we run our life and we get towards the end of our life, the end of our journey, the end of our destination, and we run out of fuel, that we run out of gas, and we begin to drift aimlessly in the river or in the ocean. Praise God that there are people that we can call, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, who will come and who will bring us some relief, who will bring us help, who will help fuel our fires once again and get us across the line. The church is not the creation of a pastor who somehow says, I need somebody to talk to on Sunday morning. You know, I could sleep in as well, but you know, it's the design of Jesus Christ. And it's a body of Christ that is meant to encourage one another. And the Bible says, James says, encourage one another even as the day of Christ approaches. And so here we are, we're running the race. Sometimes life gets weary, life gets tiring, life gets worn. And what happens is we begin to run low on fuel, and we have a brother or sister in Christ who comes alongside of us and who encourages us in the Lord. You know, that's what that taught me that day. So what is maturity? What is not? It's not age. It's not age. It's not having, you know, whether you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years. I know people who are 80 years old and they hadn't grown up yet. There's an old bumper sticker that very simply said this, I may be getting older, but I refuse to grow up, you know? And that's the way it is with life. It's not appearance. It's not having white hair. It's not having a fine suit on. It's not achievements and accomplishments. It's not having degrees on the wall. Maturity is learning how to develop a Christ-like attitude, a Christ-like character in your heart, whereby we begin to reflect Jesus Christ to the watching world. So here's what James says. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And those of you who know math, and math is I'm not a math guy. I mean, that first grade teacher, Mrs. Elizabeth, turned me off against math when she gave me a D the first semester in first grade. You know, from then on, I said, math is not for me. If you're going to give me a D, that's it. But anyway, an integer is a whole number, and so he uses this word teleos, which means whole. And James, or Job, it says, he lived his life as a whole, pleased God. David says, I've walked with integrity or wholeness of heart. Psalm 102 says, you know, I've lived my life for you. And James says what? I want you to be complete or whole. I want you to have faith, but a faith that works. So he says, I want you to go on to maturity. I want you to be whole. I want you to be complete. I want you to be what God wants you to be. So what is maturity? We're going to look at this overview. James has five chapters. And each chapter, in many ways, deals with a segment of what he means by maturity. First of all, as Mary Jane sang this morning, and we're going to look at next week, the trials. Maturity is being positive under pressure. Blessed is a person who remains steadfast under trial. And I want you to know, I don't like trials, and I don't like tests, and I don't like the stresses of life. When kids go back to school, they're going to be having tests and quizzes all the time. And I know that, you know, that's just a part of life, because you cannot grow unless you have tests, unless you know where you stand. But James says, we learn that these tests are things that refine us, that purge us, that make us, that equip us for the being the person that Jesus wants us to be. He says, remain steadfast. Remain steadfast. In other words, remain, keep to the post, keep on going. Don't quit in your life. You're going to go under a lot of pressures of life, tests and trials, but keep on keeping on. And next week we'll be looking at that idea of how we are tested in our Christian walk. Secondly, maturity is being sensitive to others. It's being loving. He says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, if you do so, you're doing well. In other words, we're living our lives and we're loving and we're sensitive and we're concerned about what other people are doing in their lives, and we want them to grow. Why? Because immaturity is anchored in selfishness, judgmentalism. I think about a song that our older kids sang and some of the other kids. I think about the Wildies and the Isons and the Plumbers. You remember the children's cantata, Angels Aware? We were watching an old video. Len had gotten out those old videos. And so here you have, you know, your kids and Dustin and our kids, and they're all small like this. Who would have thought that now they're alive, we're grandpas and grandmas. But they sang a song called I Trouble, Everybody's Thinking About Number One. And so what happens is we begin to look at ourselves, focus upon ourselves, and we become the standard, and we don't become loving towards others. We're very insensitive. We live in a world today, a community, a culture, That is just, we're just raking each other over the coals. James says, what about love and demonstrating that love of God? Maturity is being sensitive. Then maturity is also knowing how to govern yourself. Govern yourself. He says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfectly able to keep the whole body in check. Now, James chapter 3, friends, is talking primarily about this little piece of muscle that we have right here in the mouth called the tongue. When you go to the doctor and he says, stick out your tongue, you know, what do? You stick out your tongue, and he can tell a lot of things by the tongue. But the tongue, we're able to curse, we're able to bless. We're able to build up, we're able to tear down. We're able to encourage, we're able to destroy. And it's not just the tongue today, but we have the tongue here on these fingers. And friends, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in life that is recorded on Facebook that should not be, because it's destructive. And I cannot, you know, I cannot fathom the way some people can use Facebook as a tool to tear other people down, to attack churches, you know, like this, like we've been through at times. You know, Facebook can be used just like the tongue. And we're not to be like that. James says, learn how to control yourself, govern yourself. Don't look on governing someone else. Govern your own heart and bring it under self-control. Learn how to manage your own emotions, manage your own abilities. Then he says maturity is being a peacemaker. He says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? In other words, this selfishness and this judgmentalism. We're living for ourselves. We don't create conflicts. We bring peace. We become the peacemaker. My first class in homiletics, which is a preaching class in seminary, seems like yesterday. And I've talked to a lot of people my age and older who have said, you know what, time seems to be going so fast. And it is. But I was in homiletics class, and I was to give my first sermon, and it's one of those things I don't like to do, although it happens every week, and that is that people critique you. You know, they say things about, well, you shouldn't have said this, you should have said this, or you said things wrong. You know, I've got my own slang words, and I say things differently, and even my own kids have said I pronounce things wrong, and primarily because, you know, I'm just an old-fashioned Hoosier who learned how to speak right, and they got messed up along the way. But anyway... You know, my first sermon, I had a brown bag, and I took the brown bag out, and I was talking from the book of Matthew about judging someone, and I had a brown bag, and I had a brown bottle in it. And during the middle of the sermon, I took me a swig. And then I proceeded to talk about a pastor that our home church had at one time, and he loved to go out on the front porch, and he loved to drink. He loved to drink. The friends... The gamut around town was, and all the busybodies around town was saying, wow, that Methodist church has a booze-drinking pastor. That Methodist church, he's drinking booze out on his front porch. He doesn't care if anybody sees it. But you know, I pull out the brown bottle, and what is it? It's root beer. You know, Dad's is a brown bottle of root beer. And so what happens was, you know, they were saying that he was drinking booze, when actually he wasn't drinking booze at all. He was drinking root beer. I have told you the story before of how I was in the office one morning, and I picked up my telephone, and I heard the conversation of two women. The one woman I recognized because I helped her out. I took her mail every morning. I fixed her plumbing when she needed to be. I mean, you know, it's amazing what you can get into, and every morning I would do that and sometimes spend an hour or two visiting because, anyway, I heard them speaking about a certain pastor in the community, and they were saying things that weren't nice. And I should have said, this is God. You're talking about one of my servants. I didn't do that, though, because I didn't know what to do. We don't have a party line. You know, how many of you remember the old party lines? You know, you pick them up and you say, I want to use the phone. Could you get off? Well, anyway, what happens was I hung up. But the flesh in me got the best of me. And so I picked the phone back up. To see if I could listen in on the conversation, but oh my, I couldn't pick them up any longer, and I was so heartbroken because I wanted to hear further what they were going to say. But anyway, you know, what happens is this judgmentalism, selfishness, and we put people in their own, you know, that's not good, and so we'll be looking at that. Quarrels and fight, it comes from within ourselves. And then last of all, maturity is being patient and prayerful, and this is a hard one. But he says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. We live in a world where we have overnight success, overnight stardom, overnight delivery. We have everything instantaneously. And we want to have what we want when we want it. We want to move from here to there. But friends, we cannot develop maturity overnight. But it takes waiting. It takes process. And I don't like to wait at all. Last week, we tried to go to one of my kids' churches every time we've been off. And so some years ago, we went to Stacy. Of course, her husband is a pastor. We went to Andrea's. We went to Katie's, and they're all different. Last week, David was already here, so that one here helps out. But anyway, Kristen, we went to Kristen's church last week in Marion. And he was actually speaking from James. And I thought, wow, this is really pretty cool because he's going to be talking about what I'm going to be talking about. Maybe I can borrow some stuff. I don't know. But he also just reminded me that I need to speak an hour. So we got half hour to go. But anyway, he said that waiting was hard. And several years ago, some of you know this, there was a hailstorm that came through the area. And that damaged shingles and damaged the roofs. And the insurance adjuster came to evaluate and to adjust his roof and said, oh, this is just normal wear and tear. I mean, this isn't hail. This is normal wear and tear. And he says, all up and down the street, on both sides of him, across the street, people were getting new roofs because the hail had completely riddled their roof. And he says, here he wasn't going to get a new roof because the insurance adjuster said, oh, it's just normal wear and tear. He says, it was so hard waiting, so hard praying, frustrating. And yet he says, finally, the day came, and the insurance adjuster came back and says, well, we admit it was hail damage, and we will replace your roof. But it's very, very hard learning how to wait. Why? Because it demands patience. And I'm not a very patient man. I've always had to deal with patience. I mean, Lana has told me that I live my life fast forward. And I have to say, I live my life fast forward. She lives her life mañana, okay? You know, I'm type A, she's type B. And I've shared with this in the past that, you know, I'm Rush, and she was a former coaster. And I've always been trying to get her to rush, and she's trying to get me to coast. But you know, this is the part of life that we deal with, and they balance you out. But we have to learn how to be patient and prayerful. Patient and prayerful, and learn how to wait. And maturity doesn't happen overnight. We don't go from being a baby to being a full-fledged believer. We are in the process, moving on and on and on and on throughout our life as we grow up with Jesus Christ. But as we stop and we think about this morning, you know, the farmer waits for the produce to come on, the corn to ripen, the watermelons to grow, the tomatoes to ripen, whatever it might be, the cantaloupes to come on. So we have to learn how to wait. So friends, how do we rate in this maturity process? How do we rate in the growth process? I was talking to my brother a couple weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I can't remember when it was. And they were driving by an old house that they had lived a portion of their life in. And he would begin talking with the current occupants of the house, and he asked this question. He says, do you mind if I look in your closets? Now, what would you say if someone asked you that? Do you mind if I look in your closets? I mean, most of us, we cram everything we can in our closets and push the door shut, right? Don't you dare look in my closets, right? You know. But he says, and the person says, no, we don't care. So he went into the closet to look where they had their bedroom. And he says, I looked around the bedroom, on the closet wall, and sure enough, it was still there. What was there? The growth chart. They had put on the walls, marked on the walls, how they had grown over the years. And even though it had been tried to be painted, it was still there. You could still see it. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, you know, where are we at in our growth with Christ? Are we still over here as a new believer, a new babe? Have we become a child? Are we becoming a believer, a disciple? Christ Jesus wants us to be disciples. He wants us to move the whole gamut. But maturity takes time. It takes process. But growing up is what we're called to do, to grow our roots deep down in Christ and to grow up into Christ and to be all that he wants us to be. That's what we're going to be talking about. But next week we'll be talking about those tests and those trials, things that I don't like to deal with. Yet those tests prove very invaluable to me because it's what Jesus Christ uses to make me, to purify me, and enable me to become a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. Growing up, being and doing, the Christian life is not only an ascent to certain ideals, it's living what Jesus Christ has called us to live. Precious Lord, we thank you and we praise you today that you're a great God, you're a good God. You love us so. And Father, I pray that today that we will just look at our growth chart, that we will just look and examine where are we at on the scale. Are we consuming the meat and potatoes, or are we still on the milk stage? Are we growing up? Are we bulking up? Are we still, you know, just a stunted, spiritually speaking? I pray, Lord Jesus, fill us with your Spirit. Call us to more. Help us to focus upon you, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to keep on persevering, to be steadfast in our faith. And Lord, help us to realize that the body of Christ is something, someone, a body, a family that helps us to grow. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person here who has helped invest their life in me, who have helped me to grow. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great sacrifice. Thank you for giving all for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.